What I'm going to do first this morning is the lesson this morning is from Ruth, chapter 2. This is probably one of my favorite books in the Bible, with Ruth and Boaz. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read these 22 verses first, and then we'll talk a little bit about them. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Abimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went to the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You've given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, when she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He's one of my kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, He even said to me, "Stay with my workers until they're finished harvesting all my grain." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. May the Lord bless this reading from his holy word. I think that a good subject for this particular chapter would be in the field of Boaz. And I don't remember if Billy mentioned it last week, but when we closed chapter 1, Naomi and Ruth had just arrived in Bethlehem, just as the barley harvest was beginning. And the book of Ruth begins with the death of her husband, but it'll end with the birth of a baby. Her tears will turn into triumph. Naomi was really bitter against God. Anybody know why? Anybody have any ideas on why she was bitter with him? Yes, exactly. Yeah. Her husband had died. They were in poverty, you know. But Ruth, through all of this, was willing for God to have his way in her life. So God began his gracious work with Ruth. Ruth would influence Naomi, and then God would bring to pass a wonderful work that would eventually bring the Son of God into the world. Ruth and Naomi had no idea that they would be part of an eternal plan that would fulfill God's promise to Abraham that his seed would bring blessing to the whole world. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3 say, and I quote, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you.'" End quote. Verse 1, Naomi remembered that she had a relative on Elimelech's side. And his name was Boaz. He was a wealthy landowner. And based on what I read and all the commentaries, he was really a man of great standing in the community. He's later going to become the hero of this particular book of Ruth. Boaz, in my opinion, is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he a picture of Jesus in relationship to his bride, the church? I think so, yes. Boaz means strength. He was a man of war, a man of wealth, and a man of the law. If we want God to work in our lives and circumstances and accomplish his great gracious purposes, there are certain things that we must meet. These conditions are illustrated to us in Ruth's experiences in this chapter 2. Chapter teaches us a couple of things. Number one, we must live by faith in God. Since Ruth was not the kind of woman who could sit around and do nothing, she asked Naomi's permission to glean in the fields so they'd have something to eat. And here we find a strange law. Billy briefly mentioned it last week. To glean grain was a part of the Mosaic system. And I think, in other words, Barb and I were talking about this the other day when I was going over the lesson. She came up with a good response to this. She said, "You know, I think this was an early stage of welfare because these poor people were taken care of." Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And this was God's way of taking care of the poor. The fact that Ruth wants to go and glean tells us how poor she really was. In Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, it says, and I quote, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God." This will be known as the Mosaic Law of the Kinsman Redeemer. This was Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. And the Hebrew definition of kinsman redeemer is one who rescues property or person. And we'll see where it comes into play next week when Billy brings us a lesson from chapter 3. But if you guys want to read ahead of time, you can read the kinsman redeemer in its entirety in Leviticus 25, verses 47 through 55, and it explains the whole procedure. Leviticus 25, 47 through 55. To live by faith means to take God at his word and then act upon it. For faith without works is dead, it tells us in James 2, 20. In verse 2, since Ruth believed that God would provide for her, she set out to find a field that she could glean. And again, she had to have Naomi's approval to do this. This was completely an act of faith, because being a stranger, she had no clue on who owned these parcels of land. There was nothing that said anywhere, you know, like we have now on our farms with names or anything on, no boundary markers or anything. She was especially vulnerable as an outsider, and she had to be careful where she went, because again, we have to remember she was a Moabite. Verses 3 through 6 tell us that Ruth goes out into the field, gleaning the field behind the harvesters. When she picked this particular field, she had no earthly idea whose it was. She found out later it belonged to Boaz. And I picked up on something. It may be unrelated to this, but since we're talking about harvesting, read an article when I was just going through some things this past week. And this article was talking about a McCormick reaper, for all you folks that have farms, in Kansas, that cuts the grain, at the same time it threshes it, and bags it up. If it drops one little grain of oats or wheat, or whatever the grain is, there's an arm that reaches out, picks it up, and puts it in the bag. They don't miss a thing. I was amazed when I read this. Another thing in this chapter teaches us is we must live by the grace of God. What is grace? I think a good definition is favor bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and they can't earn it. Grace means that God makes the first move to come to our aid, not because we deserve anything, but because he loves us and he wants us for himself. When Ruth sat out that morning, she was looking for somebody that would show her grace. And by golly, she found it. That channel of grace was Boaz. Here's where he comes into the picture. Boaz, being a good landowner, he was concerned about his workers. And he wanted them to enjoy the blessing that God had given him. And he noticed this stranger in the field that was gleaning behind the farmers. And he asked his foreman, he said, you know, who it was. And the foreman told him, you know, she's a Moabite. He came from Moab with Naomi. The question we ask ourselves, the question I asked myself when I was reading this, how in the world did Ruth pick this particular field? And I think there's not but one answer to this. God led her there. No question. I think when she saw the poor people gleaning in Boaz's field, she thought that whoever owned this particular field was a very generous person. She was a foreigner. She was a Moabite. That's why she chose this particular field. I think she prayed about it, and she asked God to lead her, and he did. Verses 6 through 9 tell us that Ruth was willing to accept poverty. Being an outcast, being a widow the rest of her life, when Boaz comes to work to greet his harvesters on that particular day, he falls for her, hook, line, and sinker. Ruth 2:11 indicated that Boaz had already heard about Ruth, and now he was about to meet her in the flesh, as the saying goes. Love at first sight, no question. He encouraged her to stay in his field and not go anywhere else. And there's some things here that I think the reasoning behind that. Number one, he invites her to stay in the field. He spoke to her. He interrupted his conversation with his foreman to speak to this poor stranger who was gleaning in his field. Two, as Warren Wiersbe says, he put around her his cloak of protection and provides for her needs. Reason being, in those days, it was dangerous for a woman in Ruth's position, a widow and a foreigner from Moab. I'm sure, had it not been for him, she'd probably been ridiculed and harassed and insulted, and so on. Verses 10 through 13 tell us that Boaz encouraged her. She believed his promises and she rejoiced in them. Her action to this normal deed by Boaz was the fact that she fell on her face and bowed to the ground. She never dreamed that anyone would take notice of her. Actually, she thought they'd probably turn their backs on her. If she were to go home and look at the mirror, she'd see the reason she's beautiful, she's lovely, and she's attractive. Everything a man would want in a wife and then some. Remember how we defined Ruth at the beginning of the book? Beauty, personality. She'd come to trust God. That's why she left Moab, and she decided to go to Bethlehem with Naomi. Even though Naomi had tried to talk her out of it, again, God was leading her. She turned from idolatry, and she turned to God. She looked away from her poverty. She trusted Boaz completely. Ruth was no longer a foreigner, and she was no longer a stranger. Verses 14 through 18 tell us that she gleaned all day long. Boaz saw to it she was satisfied. Gave her things to eat, drink. And all this happened to Ruth because of her faith in the God of Israel. Again, Boaz knew her story. And it didn't take long for the news to travel in Bethlehem. She was happy. None of the harvesters bothered her. She had plenty of food and drink, place to rest. She carried the grain she gleaned home to Naomi. Before, Naomi was bitter toward the women of Bethlehem, and she blamed God for her sorrow, and she blamed God for her poverty. But her attitude now had completely changed. Seeing the grain, she blessed God, and she blessed Boaz. This change took place because of the new hope she had in her heart. And the one who gave her that hope was Boaz. Her hope was because Boaz was wealthy. He was influential in the community, as I've said before. And he was a very compassionate individual. Boaz showed Ruth such kindness, and he basically rescued him from poverty, gave her a new beginning. Boaz insisting on Ruth staying close to his servants and in his field was proof to Naomi that her husband's relative was making plans that included her and her daughter-in-law. Ruth kept busy, and she gathered food, enough food for herself and her mother-in-law. But now she was really working. She was motivated by this wonderful hope that had been given to her. This harvest took probably about 6 weeks. And for 6 weeks, every afternoon, you'd see coming into Bethlehem, not wise men, not shepherds, not Joseph and Mary yet, but Boaz and Ruth. Again, Boaz is in love with Ruth. And this little town of Bethlehem is gossiping. Good gossip, if you will. And I'll bet you that Naomi, since Ruth lived with her, could look out that window and she could see him coming every afternoon. He used Ruth to turn Naomi's bitterness and gratitude and her unbelief into faith and her despair into hope. Ruth's faith in God's word led her to the field of Boaz. To me, it's encouraging to see the changes that have taken place in Naomi because of what Ruth did. One person trusting God and obeying his will can change a situation in a heartbeat from defeat to victory. And I think this is what happened in this particular chapter. And I go back on what Billy says from time to time. In fact, I think he reminds us every week. You know, we need to get into this book. And we need to get into it big time. And we need to really study it. Because I can tell you, some time ago, when I was in Billy's class at First Baptist, I taught a lesson from the book of Ruth. And when I went back and prepared this lesson, I'd have shook my head because there were so many things in that initial lesson that I had taught that I picked up on the second time around. It was just absolutely amazing. And again, I don't care how many times you read Scripture, you always find something new to read. And that, folks, is the end of chapter 2. And I think chapter 3 coming up is going to be a good one. Billy's going to teach us that next week. Anybody have any comments they'd like to share? It was a short chapter, but man, I tell you what, there was a lot of information in it. And I would encourage you, you know, to go back to Leviticus and read about the kinsman redeemer, because I think that'll help you next week when Billy goes into chapter 3, because it really tells us what the kinsman redeemer does and what that particular law is. So if nobody has any questions, I'm going to close this out in prayer if I can do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this glorious, glorious day that you've given us, Lord. We're just so indebted to you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit being with us here today and celebrating the Passover, Lord. We just thank you so much for that opportunity. And Lord, as we go into this coming week, remind us that the 4th of July, we celebrate our independence, Heavenly Father, and gives us the opportunity to worship and serve you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church, its pastor, its congregation. Lord, we just ask that you remember these folks that are on the board. You know them all, Heavenly Father. Unspoken prayer request as well. You're the great healer, Heavenly Father, and the great physician. We put it all in your hands, dear Lord. Thank you so much. And we just ask, Lord, that you bless all the families that are represented here today. We ask that you'd bring them back next week. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in your holy and righteous name. Amen.